Wow, we're super consistent. We're on to the third episode of Design Discussion Show. So yeah, this is Supratim and you're listening to the Design Discussion Show. And we are here to discuss the compounding impact of design and technology on the real world. To introduce myself again, I'm Supratim. I'm a human-computer interaction researcher at Simon Fraser University, Vancouver. I've been practicing UX and software development for 4 years now. And I define myself as someone who's really curious about dissecting the harder questions surrounding design and technology and its impact on everything around us. So continuing with the trend of bringing some interesting academic literature from the domain of design, I'm going to present the segment Research and Design, Episode 3, and I have again three papers to share with you. So the first paper discusses the role of design in creating machine learning enhanced user experiences. The second paper investigates the difference between calling something artifact and calling something as research. And finally, the third paper lays down a framework for discussing human body interaction with computers, and it defines five themes around that. So the first paper is from CMU and it's called The Role of Design in Creating Machine Learning Enhanced User Experience. The authors identify the ways UX can make machine learning more usable and valuable for user-centered design processes. The effective use of machine learning really depends on what kind of data you have learned from any kind of application. Today's approach is to see the data availability first and then construct a solution around it. This sort of leads to a lack of focus. The best way forward is to sort of plan and begin the use of machine learning really early on in the development process and with the explicit goals laid down very clearly before the development starts. And the authors mention some of the lenses that designers can use to sort of contextualize these goals. So the first lens that they discuss is called the user's lens. An example of that could be how machine learning should now decide between automating all parts of the system versus leaving out some to make the user feel more like an expert and in control of the situation. The second lens that can be used is from the service provider's viewpoint. So every recommendation service needs to decide how long do you want to engage with the user so that you can generate enough data for making some useful decisions. The final lens is the humanistic lens, where you designers, especially people designing machine learning based systems, need to decide the ranking algorithms and how they work, and if and not they're enforcing any bias in the program. The UX design approaches also have the great potential to identify new opportunities for machine learning to be used. It is really interesting to see how the author mentions machine learning's ability to evolve user experiences over time. Now, this puts the time dimension as a great design opportunity. On one hand, you have to decide how you can make users engage more to create a richer profile for them. And on the other hand, you need to find a balance between automating user choices and explicit engagement from the user. So the second paper is from the Royal College of Art and it's called Research in Art and Design. Now, this paper tries to debate about the stereotypes associated with research in art and in design. And it begins by stating the pop culture stereotype of a mad artist who looks and hunts for inspiration, but is not suitable for being categorized as a researcher, and how a hungry designer who's obsessed with the upcoming trends is also not equated as a researcher. Now, the author describes the three kinds of research associated with any kind of design. The first is research into design, which is sort of the research of various perspectives on design, like social, political, ethical, cultural, etc. And then there's research through design that either sort of develops a piece of technology to do something that no one has done before, or it uses research to log or record what is being designed. And the final one is the research for design, where designers collect artifacts to inspire or sort of guide any kind of new forthcoming design. So the final paper is from the Stanford HCI group, who presented this paper at the Designing Interactive Systems Conference 2016. The paper is titled How Bodies Matter, Five Themes for Interaction Design. Now, the authors here lay down five themes that they think govern interaction design. The first theme is thinking through doing, which specifies that thought and action are deeply integrated and they're together responsible for any kind of learning and reasoning. They say that people undergo cognitive development through physical interaction with the world. Now, the example that they give is really interesting. They say that how babies use gestures, and they have found that it's a very key component of any kind of linguistic development in human beings. Also, in pre-linguistic communication, how gesture plays a really important role. Like babies use gestures all the time to communicate with adults. The author state that this kind of thinking through the act of using physicality, it really aids cognitive models. Coming to the second theme, which is performance, this describes the capability of our bodies to interact and act in the world around us. It specifies that physical action is faster and more specific than just thinking about things. The ability to sometimes see the physical manifestation of any interaction can really help equip the user with expert skills much faster, because we are trying to utilize motor memory and physical movements. Users can really get a better grip of the interaction that any system affords. The third theme is visibility, which defines the importance of an interaction to be made visible to the outside world. Like when people are situated in a place where learning is easier to them, it helps them participate as an expert much quicker. For example, a UI doesn't afford any kind of awareness in a way that the person interacts, so that someone can just learn by looking at a UI. And this is especially true for people who are not familiar with complicated user interfaces. The fourth theme is risk, which states that if you do not retain elements of risk in practice, your tools start to lose out on the ability to transfer skills much faster. As today's digital tools are becoming more about minimizing risk, it is actually reducing the commitment of a user to interact with the system. Now, example is the dangers of using, say, a power tool leads to really strong commitment emotions evoked in its user. The final theme is the thick practices. Now, instead of trying to replicate a real-world interaction and then simulating it within the virtual environment, it is always better if the interactions are the real-world ones instead of just simulations, because they represent a mobile virtuality than the virtual reality. An example of this could be the digital turntable that DJs use, which have an encoded time stamp inside them instead of the analog audio signal. So the system is trying to emulate an analog control scheme for digital music, so which is a much better practice for affording any interaction. With that, we come to the end of this episode. For links to any of these papers mentioned in the podcast, please read the show notes in the description box. And you can always find us on Twitter at @design_discuss or on Instagram by the same handle. I'll repeat that, @design_discuss. And if you're liking what you hear, please subscribe to this podcast, leave a good review, and see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.